Good evening. Welcome. I'm Catherine, and this is Yahel, my co-teacher. And we have together, all of us here in this room, until Sunday, just before 4 o'clock, to cultivate meditation practice within the context of the theme that we have offered this weekend. But first, let us welcome each other here. This retreat is called Compassion, Beauty, and Imagination. And we said in the description something about the heart. And whatever brought you here, whether you came for sanity, whether you came for just having some quiet out of a busy, beautiful, or difficult life, whether you came because you want to dive deeper with these themes, whether you came from desperation, you're welcome. Whether you came because something is calling you onward to more possibilities for this heart and mind than the tangle that many of us human beings know very, very well. The tangle of our heart and mind with ourself and with each other and with our world. So whatever brought you here, welcome. Let us be really welcome, whether you are familiar with Gaia House, whether you are completely new here, whether you are somewhere in between, and in between could be like you used to come to Gaia House and then COVID happened, and now you come back and you're not sure if it's familiar. So welcome if you're new to Gaia House this weekend. Can you please give us a wiggle, raise your hand? There's about eight. No, actually, there's a lot. There's about 17, I think. Welcome to this place cared for by the trustees who work hard, the staff, the coordinators. It's for you to practice Dhamma, to practice a path of unbinding, to practice deepening in kindness and compassion for your sake and for our worlds. So this place is for you. So if you're new here tonight. It might be a bit dark now, but when we're done, or maybe in the morning, you know, please go out on the land here, walk to the boundaries, feel yourself. This is for you, this place. This is really for you, this human predicament, to have the courage to come sit with our own heart mind. And for, of course, the impact that has in our life and our worlds. And welcome if you're anyone who came to Gaia House a lot in the past, but hasn't been since COVID, for whom it's a kind of spiritual home, but you're just back tonight for the first time. Please raise your hands. Yeah, that's quite a good number. Yeah, welcome. I'm a bit like that. I haven't taught here since before COVID. I've been here on retreat during COVID, but I haven't been in this role, this function. So welcome to us who have come back, and it's some things are the same and some are different. And welcome if you feel like you've been coming all the way through. There was a very small skeleton staff and community here during the main lockdowns. And I know someone was here during that. To unbind, to learn the arts, in this case from the Buddha's Dharma, the Dharma that is taught by the Buddha, the path, the way, the teachings from the historical Buddha from North India 2,000, almost 600 years ago. For this path of unbinding, we must arrive in our location, in our seat, with our body, with our heart, with everything we bring, with everything that we are. So let's take a little bit of time with that. with you? What would it be to imagine that you were utterly, utterly welcome, not just as an idea, more than an idea, but were celebrated for arriving here to practice? And here's where you can play with the imagination. Even if our heart may never have felt welcome in certain places, or our body, or our mind, imagine what it would be this weekend, that everything about you, all the ways you know yourself, visible and not visible to others, that everything here about you was celebrated with a door wide open and arms wide open and the expression, it's you. It's well that you are here, exactly as you are. Welcome to whatever you bring in your heart, whatever joy or pain from your personal world. And I read on some of your forms some of what some of you are going through. Welcome. Whatever pain or joy you bring in your heart from our collective worlds tonight, however you're impacted, what is your aspiration for coming? Whatever you want. Peace. Imagination. Liberation. Divinity. Just a bit more ease, please. Welcome. Whatever gifts you bring. Whatever struggles you know, whatever perspectives and sensibilities that you have inherited by way of your cultural location, where you are with the people who came before you, your ancestors, whatever traditions you come from, education, religious, secular, all the languages that are close to your heart, how you know yourself in terms of class, in terms of ethnicity and color of your skin, however you know yourself as a gendered or gendered being, your sexuality, your health, every way you know yourself to be, your age, your nationality, and particularly welcome if you're in this group and either see or wonder if you are in a non-majority location within this group. Yes. So particularly welcome to you who identify as working class people here. Welcome. Welcome all people in this group who know themselves and identify as people of color. Welcome. Welcome to beings of all genders, and welcome to all members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, plus communities. Welcome. All abilities, all struggles invisible to others. And any other essential ways that you know yourself. And breathe with us, please, together in our multiplicity, breathing in and breathing out. We are here. And if you regard the image of the historical Buddha behind me, the larger of the two, they have their hand, their right hand, touching the earth. Right? And this is the gesture many of you will be familiar with, this gesture of the Buddha struggling on the night of his awakening, struggling with the mind, assailed by Mara. And he reached down to touch the earth. Yeah, some of you are doing it. Any time this weekend, please do not think of this as a rudimentary practice. This is his, one of his last major practices, right? Reaching down to touch the earth, and the earth bearing witness, rising up to bear witness to his right to sit and be free. And he's plugging his own location into a much bigger, more dimensional, more beautiful, more awake cosmos, Earth. And in joining to that, by putting his hand to the earth, this opens up the possibilities for him. And he taught the Dhamma for us. So welcome. Let us touch the earth. Let us remember our location. And as in the tradition, coming on a Buddhist retreat that I will have come on, the monk at the front may have said to us, welcome. My siblings, they would say brothers and sisters, I'm going to be a little wider than that. Welcome my siblings in birth, aging, sickness, and death. Let's meet there. Let's breathe there. This that unifies us, to see each other with that regard. What happens if you look at us as your brother and sister and sibling in birth and death? When I look at you that way, I relax. There's nothing to be afraid of. We share this sensitive predicament, this little interval between birth and death, and anyone who's, I can't claim full eldership yet, but I'm on my way, it really starts to seem like a small interval between birth and death. It gets faster, you see, proportionally, as you can do the maths on it. It gets quicker. It appears quicker. Let us meet here as Dhamma siblings in this human predicament, to study this mind, this heart, to unbind, to know sacredness, because that's part of this retreat. Hope you read the blurb. To open to imagination, beauty, compassion. Let us meet here and see what we can muster together this weekend. So just a little bit, I'll read you the retreat description. I hope you read it. Sometimes people don't. Too bad, you're here till 4:15 on Sunday. It's called Compassion, Beauty and Imagination. So primarily, first and foremost, this is a meditation retreat, as all the retreats here are. And a meditation retreat, as I have alluded to, is a chance to steady the heart and mind, to steady this tangle and this beauty, actually, to steady this heart and mind and to relate to our experience in ways that unbind, to relate to our experience in ways that untangle the tangle. This is primarily what this retreat is dedicated to. And human beings in probably all traditions in all times will have found the value of coming away from our familiar life, not because there's anything wrong with it, sometimes it might feel that way, but because we value and recognize the opportunity to go deeper with something that may not always call as loudly to us. Until we're on our knees, or sometimes we're so inspired, or sometimes in between. This retreat says, sometimes we might assume that our imaginations are a hindrance on the path of Dharma practice. And that's really that some of us might have been educated that way. Not all of us, but some of us might have come up with that idea. But what might become possible for us when we engage our imagination with wisdom, skill, and sensitivity? With our hearts and our imaginations at the center of this weekend, held in a context of silence, we will offer meditations and inquiries that deepen our access to the beautiful qualities of the heart and mind, and that can restore and open our senses of sacredness. So, the themes. Let's take a few minutes to see where you are with the theme of compassion, beauty, and imagination. So just breathing with those themes. Hopefully this investigation these days will enrich those concepts for you. They are already rich. They are very rich ideas. And our wish, Yehel, and my wish for us this weekend is that by Sunday you are in an even deeper love relationship with these ideas, with compassion, not just the idea of it, the fact of it, with beauty, with imagination itself. So rather than explain, we will talk about these things and we will all investigate the phenomenology, like how do we know these things that we call compassion, beauty, imagination. But more than an explanation, we would like each of those ideas to be open-ended, that we could be open to see where can this go if my imagination is available. In this practice, what might be possible for me on the path of Dharma practice? One of the words the Buddha used in relation to compassion and all the heart qualities was that they are immeasurable, without measure, not possible to measure. There is no end. There is no end point. There is no final definition. There is no way that we can wrap our mind around the extraordinary beauty and depth of what compassion is, and where it can go, and what it can touch, and what it can open to. So I invite us to start by making an agreement with ourselves. Okay, I have my ideas about beauty, compassion, imagination. But let each one start to open for me. May I be in relationship like it was another person. Like no other person likes to be looked at like we've already wrapped our mind around them, right? I know you. I've got your number. I've really sussed. Yeah, got it. And then we come to them again and we don't see them properly. No one likes being seen like that. We are unfathomable. We are limitless. We have our roots beyond. We are not reducible to a single idea. Let that be so with compassion, with imagination, with beauty. So a tiny bit more from me. Tiny bit about each of those ideas from one perspective. Compassion. The aspect of love that can meet suffering. And when we are in the presence of compassion, we let down our defenses. Something in us recognizes it, and trust is deepened. We let that other who is compassionate, they get in, they touch us. We feel met, but we don't feel like they shrink to meet us, right? Compassion can resonate with suffering without defining itself by the suffering. This is extraordinary. It can be tender, very tender, and it is powerful in that it can respond skillfully. More. More. Each of these will have more this weekend, and hopefully more for our lives and our world. Beauty, where are you with beauty? Are you someone who loves beauty or is sensitive to beauty? Or, nah, beauty, that's just this sort of consolation prize in a tough world. Or wants to be more close to beauty? Are you someone who sees beauty as important, not just for you, but for our world, perhaps? That for you, maybe beauty is more than just pleasant sense experience. That beauty is more than just a poignant feeling. Or something pretty. Or conventionally beautiful. Maybe you recognize that beauty has a power to speak to hearts and minds in a way that opens our view about what we are, about what the world is. That beauty has the power to stop a human being in their tracks and arrest us to find out what really matters, what really, really matters in this interval between birth and death. That beauty is more than about the object, that it is more than the eye of the beholder, but that it is something in between that we are sensitive to, can become available for, and participate in. And I invite this, I propose this for us. Imagination can be a very, very, very helpful tool and instrument for our practice, and we will engage in this way. It can assist in deepening, in new insights. But imagination also we're going to offer to you as more than just a tool, more than just an instrument, but as something itself that has intelligence, that is valid as a way of knowing, that can be a servant of sacredness, an attribute of divinity, and beautifully intelligent. But whatever you came for, That's the most important thing. And whatever you came for in a meditative path, our body, your body, your location, your mindfulness of the whole body, this will be the doorway for anything that we want for our path of practice. If we want beauty, we must be available here, and we become sensitive and available here. If we want compassion, and if we want to go further with imagination, imagination must, like the Buddha, with his hand to the earth, it is plugged in to something beyond us, earthed, beautiful home.
Very good. So let's sit together. So please find a meditation posture that's comfortable and supportive, and that also allows your body to be open and upright. You can choose to sit or stand. You can find the earth beneath you. You will probably need to find it again and again. Come in contact with it. Trust the earth or the ground. And all the different pressures and movements and inner voices, sounds or noises. Can very much be there. They're very much welcomed as well. But you have the ground. How will it be to let yourself really trust it? really giving your weight so the earth can hold you. And if the heart or the mind are picking something up, maybe you can decide if you want to pick that up or put it down. When the Buddha spoke to his son, he told him that the earth would be very happy to carry all of it. From the connection and the support of the earth. There is a natural uprightness and openness of the body. Perhaps you can be sensitive to this as well. Without disconnecting from the earth. Perhaps something in the body enjoys being upright and open. Can you feel your whole body? from this connection with the earth and the uprightness of body, becoming sensitive to how this whole field or location feels. Letting yourself be sensitive to the whole body. In connection with It may be, or it may even be possible, to invite the awareness and sensitivity to surround the body, so the body is held in, surrounded by and full of awareness and sensitivity. And there will be many textures and sensations in this field. Some of them feels pleasant, some of them unpleasant, some in the middle. You respect all of them with your sensitivity, attention. Include all of them, including the neutral ones and the slightly pleasant ones. Not just focusing on these parts that are so familiar and obvious, but including the ones that are very silent. welcoming all the different aspects. And layers. Of this body. So thank you for your practice. And should I continue from here? And to welcome you here, I wanted to share a poem or a quote from the really great mystic and teacher, Rumi. You know, it's interesting with the poems and quotes of these really great teachers. It's an interesting question how one hears them. And I think sometimes can play a certain game, if you want, and behave for 5 minutes or for 5 months or for 5 years as if everything they're saying is true, completely true. You just act as if and see what happens. So, there is a community of the spirit. Join it and feel the delight of walking in the noisy street and being the noise. Drink all your passion and be a disgrace. Close your eyes to see with the other eye. Open your hands if you want to be held. Sit down in this circle. Quit acting like a wolf and feel the shepherd's love filling you. At night, your beloved wanders. Don't accept consolations. Close your mouth against food. Taste the lover's mouth in yours. You moan, she left me, he left me. 20 more will come. Be empty of worrying. Think of who created thought. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? Move outside the tangle of fear thinking. Live in silence. Flow down and down in always widening rings of being. there is a lot there. And it would be way too much to claim that in this retreat we can do justice with such a teaching. It would actually be a lot to claim that in one lifetime one can do justice with such a teaching. And maybe we also can. Maybe we also can. And in meditation retreats, and most of you know how they go, and some of you are new to them, so good for you. Good for you. So good. You love it. Maybe. It's a great acquired taste. And on these retreats, including this one, we have structures and forms that really support such a deepening. And it's really remarkable to see what the human heart and the human mind can feel and see and notice in the right conditions. One of the forms is the form of silence. And as Rumi declared in the beginning of the song, silence is not an ultimate condition for deep spiritual attunement, but it's a very supportive one. And that's the one practical tip he gives in this poem. Live in silence. You can read it as a practical advice or not practical. But the silence here is a great help in finding some new perspectives, in allowing ourselves to be slightly new to ourselves. To find ways of being, of relating to our experiences that are less tied to the more habitual, more regular way in which we usually appear. So especially if you're new, and also if you are not new, and a reminder can help, I'll just say simply that on this retreat, we're maintaining silence, we're keeping silence. And this is such an important thing. It's such an important thing. The heart loves it so much. We just need to get out of the way. Sometimes. So this applies to speaking with one another. It also applies to the relationship with your phones. So in Israel, Catherine told me to tell you this. In Israel, when people come on retreats, and we have plenty of people coming on retreats, and if you would live in Israel, you would understand why. Because it's noisy. But anyway, and stressful and hot. So we have plenty of people coming on retreats, and we don't let them in if they don't give us their phone. We just don't. You need to give your phone in the entrance, and then you can come to the retreat. And if you don't, so imagine it's the same. Okay, this is the kind of relationship you want with your phone. relationship in which it's gone. And since it can't be gone forever, and just for now. If you want to embody this relationship, you can voluntarily take your phone and put it in a box that we'll put here tomorrow at 9:15 before the first session of the day, the first guidance of the day. There will be the morning session as well. The silence also applies to the notice board. So it's actually not meant for communication amongst the yogis, the practitioners. And it's meant for communication with us only in cases that are sort of really, really important and urgent for now. Otherwise, it's part of the field of silence. This is not because we're not interested or don't want to respond. It's actually in order to respect the intelligence that can come when one is close and intimate with their own experience during a retreat. And usually it gives much better answers than teachers. Or almost as good as, in some cases. And Rumi actually begins very, very, very wisely. There is so much in his teachings and poetry. There is a community of the spirit. Join it. And part of the beauty of retreats is that it's a very simple form. There is the schedule. You don't need to think. Just need to show up. It'll be fine. You know? Very, very simple. Waking up with the bell at 6:15 may not sound simple. Waking up with the bell at 6:15. Coming to the hall, sitting. Going for breakfast. Very, very simple. I want to really invite you to sort of give yourself to that. Give yourself to that. Allow that to carry you. If the only two things that would happen on retreat is one, there is the silence, two, there are the bells and three meals, a lot of the work will be done. Already. So I think that's all from my side for tonight. I hope you'll really enjoy this retreat or learn from it or both.
All retreats are supported by all of us being willing to take on 5 ethical guidelines while we're here, 5 ethical ways of being together to support the space. And I'm debating whether we chant them or if you're too tired to chant might wake us up a little bit. Is that a good idea or not? Okay, let's chant the precepts. So these are all lay practices held within this. It's a way of giving each other safety. It's a gift to our own mind. Our mind can settle when we take these on. It's a gift to our world. So the 5 ethical guidelines for lay practice, not harming other creatures here, or humans, not harming these creatures or other creatures. Not taking things that aren't offered to us, not stealing. For the retreat, it's a precept of celibacy, around sexuality, but the precept is actually non-harmful expressions of sexuality for our lay life. But for the retreat, it's the celibacy. The precept of caring for our speech, not harmful, saying what is true, and not taking intoxicants that cloud the mind. If you're on medication, please take your medication, of course. You probably know that, but sometimes people get confused. It's really important that you care for yourself in that way, but this is for recreational drugs. So these precepts, let us chant them together if you wish. If you don't like to chant, just please make the agreement with yourself. And this one has what we will refrain from, what we won't do, and what we will cultivate instead. It's a beautiful training, and it really allows the mind to settle. It's a gift. Let's give each other this gift. I'll do call and response in English. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine.
Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine.
I undertake the training to refrain. From harming living beings.
From harming living beings.
May I respect all life.
May I respect all life.
Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine.
Knowing how deeply our lives
intertwine. I undertake the training to refrain.
I undertake the training to refrain.
From taking that which is not freely given to me. I will practice generosity.
I will practice generosity.
Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine.
Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine.
I undertake the training to refrain.
I undertake the training to refrain.
From harmful expressions of sensuality. May I relate to these senses respectfully.
May I relate to these senses respectfully.
Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine.
Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine.
I undertake the training to refrain.
I undertake the training to refrain.
From harmful and untrue speech. May my words serve beauty and love.
May my words serve beauty and love.
I undertake the training to refrain.
I undertake the training to refrain.
From intoxicants that cloud the mind.
From intoxicants that cloud the mind.
And I will cultivate steadfastness and clarity. May these five trainings act as a vehicle for ease.
May these five trainings act
as a vehicle for awakening.
As a vehicle for wise action.
And as an offering into our world. Just as we come to the end of our evening, we would like to invite a question for you to let it drop in to your heart. Dear sibling in birth, aging and death, what brings you here? Perhaps perhaps letting this question be like a seed that roots in the soil of your heart, and it may yield a response right away. It may come in the night. There may be one, there may be many. It may percolate in the morning, but stay close to your heart, your motivation, your spark. Something brought you here, whether you have words for it or not. Maybe there's an image. But stay close to that. This is where your love is. And we will continue in the morning. Thank you for coming. Really, it's a privilege to come. I realize that having not been here for 3 years or more to teach. Let us meet together as well as we can, bring our bodies, touch the earth, bring what you love, what you care about, what matters to you. And we will do this in service to what we care about, what we love. I hope you sleep well.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.